Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's 30-minute episode, Quieting the Noise in Your Head, is about an issue experienced by many people, some unfortunately very frequently, negative intrusive self-talk. I'll be discussing how to identify this internal noise, help you learn about the activators for it, and the underlying toxic beliefs which may drive it, and teach you some antidotes to lessen the frequency and the intensity of this problem. Now, if you've called into the studio live at 877-497-9046, just press 1 on your phone to join me on the air with questions or comments. I love to have the podcast as conversations, so don't be shy. I will pause at a few intervals for your input. So, what about the noise in your head? Here's some head noise you may be very familiar with. Things that you hear yourself saying to yourself. You'll never finish that project. You're a loser. You're too fat, so nobody will ever find you attractive. You're unforgivable. You're mean. You're selfish. Nothing you do will ever make a difference. Favorite one of mine? People don't like you. You can't be trusted. You're washed up. You are just washed up. You're incompetent. You can't do anything. Don't count on good things happening. You're in La La Land if you do. So there are just the noise, you know, the things that you might hear yourself saying to yourself. Chances are at one point or another in time, you've heard that noise in your head. You know, they're the oppressive voices of self-doubt, self-denigration, and hopelessness. And you've probably also experienced the toxic impact this self-talk can have, freezing you out of effective action, isolating you, exhausting, or just overwhelming you. The good news is that there are things that you can do to either short-circuit these thoughts or lessen their intensity and frequency and clear your head for more positivity. Now, one key point I would like to have clearly understood at the beginning of this program, this podcast is not geared toward people who have been officially diagnosed with OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder. For them, although several of the treatment tools may be similar to those I'll discuss here, the intensity and impact of their toxic thoughts is generally much more intrusive and severe. And treatment for these people often involves a combination of cognitive behavioral therapy, meditation, and thought stopping, among other things. Instead, in this podcast, I'll be addressing your everyday, commonplace, toxic head noise, mostly distortions and hyperbole. So they're exaggerations and distortions. So how do you quiet the noise? Number one, I would say, is name the voice you hear in your head and its message. So name it, animate it, and externalize it as not you, okay? By naming it, you make it as something separate from you, okay? And examples may be the shamer. That's the voice that tells you you're bad or unforgivable, the shamer. The killjoy. And that's the voice that tells you don't get too comfortable with any positives which may be happening in your life. The inner critic telling you you are just not good enough. or the doom and gloomer telling you your efforts are useless, things are hopeless, and all is for naught. And my favorite one, I will share this, is nothing I ever do will ever make a difference. So it's my personal doom and gloomer. And I hear that voice with some frequency whenever I get into online dilemmas. Sounds so silly. But when I'm in a situation with online dilemmas and I feel helpless and I feel like I've worked so hard to try to fix the problem and I don't have a clue or nothing's happening, that's the voice I hear in my head. Nothing I ever do will ever make a difference. Obviously, a cognitive distortion, an emotional distortion. I'm a psychotherapist. I've helped thousands of people. I have lots of people in my life whom I love, who love me, and I do know that I make a difference. But that's a good example of a really toxic voice. Okay, so that's number one. Name the voice and its message, animate it, and separate it as not you. It's something that enters your head. Number two would be to identify the activators and be proactive to inhibit or avoid them. So in other words, try to understand what set the stage for this. How did this voice get into my head? Some typical culprits, stage-setting culprits, are alcohol, too much alcohol, drugs, or a common one is too much sugar. Sleep deprivation is a common culprit. Feeling like you're operating on empty, or hunger. So these activators are their physiologic dysregulators. When you are off because you're too hungry, you're too tired, you just haven't eaten what you should have eaten, and it can really kind of upset the balance in your brain and set the stage for this kind of noise in your head. Another one would be being too sedentary, sitting on your butt too much, or just a lack of exercise. If you're used to a high level of exercise and you've had an injury, you might be more prone to hearing this kind of noise in your head. Toxic people. Have you been exposed to people who are erasing or competitive, non-empathic, or just hostile, or people who are unappreciative, or people who objectify you, make you feel like you're an object? That is a very common one for people when they've been exposed to people who have that impact on them. They often hear more of this noise in their head. Isolation is another one. Have you been not in connection with people, more alone, more isolated, so more vulnerable to all your own vulnerabilities? Another one is anxiety-provoking tasks. Are you doing something that really challenges your sense of competency and completion? That can really activate the doom and gloomer. Or the inner critic. I mean, it could activate any one of these, but anxiety-provoking tasks is a big one. And for some people, it's a lack of sunlight. So there are people who in low light situations in the fall or the winter, people who have seasonal affective disorder are more vulnerable to depressive feelings and depressive thoughts. These are depressive thoughts, by the way. So why don't I pause here? There are several people on the line. If anybody has a question, this is your chance to ask it. Anybody? No? Okay. If something occurs to you, oh, wait a minute, there is somebody who has a question. There we go. Hello, do you have a question?
Yes, hi, Susan. I find it very interesting because, of course, I experience a lot of negative self-talk, and I often wonder why it seems that myself and other people experience this, and I wonder why we seem to grab hold of more negative self-talk rather than positive self-talk, or I don't know what seems to be more common in my life. It seems that it's easier for me to have these thoughts enter my head, the more negative self-talk rather than the positive self-talk. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
This question?
Yes, and that's a great question. So one thing may be to look at the things that may activate it. What are the situations that make you more vulnerable to this? Okay. And then to your question about why would you gravitate when you're vulnerable to these kinds of distortions and this kind of negativity, my next segment will address that, which it has to do with underlying toxic beliefs. Toxic beliefs as the drivers, and that really beliefs about yourself, beliefs, attributions that you give yourself versus more affirming beliefs. Okay, so I will get into that, and hopefully that will answer your question. It also has to do with an overall experience of self-esteem. People who have more self-esteem issues are more vulnerable to noise in their head, the oppressors in their head. And one of the reasons why this is such an important issue, because everybody's got some kind of self-esteem issue. Why don't you stay tuned for what I have to say about toxic beliefs as drivers, okay?
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. So, the next part is, as I said to our caller in, that it's important for you to identify underlying toxic beliefs that may drive these thoughts and to consider more affirming beliefs as you identify the toxic beliefs. And I'm inviting you to note beliefs where you're saying to yourself, I am, versus I can be. In other words, beliefs about who you are as a person rather than what you may be doing or how you may be behaving. They're beliefs where you're experiencing it as part of yourself. And those generally feel unchangeable. So I'm encouraging you to note them so you can begin to dismantle them. So here are some toxic beliefs that I hear, I get to with clients that we get to and that seem to drive a lot of the noise in their head. One of them is, I'm unlovable. I'm just unlovable. Okay? And a more affirming belief would be, my family didn't know how to value me. They didn't know how to love me. Another more affirming belief as a counter to I'm unlovable might be, I can be difficult, or I put up walls around myself that can inhibit connection. Okay? See, those are more workable, doable things. It's more about the things I do or some of my history rather than I am just unlovable. Another one is, I'm incompetent. I'm just incompetent. Now, what do you do with that? If you believe you're incompetent, that's a kind of fixed thing. And it's a kind of character assassination. I'm just not good at anything. I'm ineffective. I'm incompetent. A more affirming belief, if you're challenging that I'm incompetent belief, might be, I'm not familiar with this. And by the way, I use this whenever I get to that, oh, my God, I'm incompetent. Nothing I ever do will ever make a difference. If it stirs up a feeling of incompetence when I'm dealing with online stuff, I know that this is a very helpful alternative. I'm not familiar with this. I didn't grow up with this. This is different. Okay. Another a counter to the I'm incompetent belief is, this isn't my strong suit. I'm stretching myself right now. I'm in an unfamiliar territory, and I may not be very good at this. That's very different than saying to yourself, I'm incompetent. Another counter to the I'm incompetent belief would be, I need to practice this to improve my skills in it. I'm not practiced. I'm not familiar with it. I'm not practiced. Maybe if I practice this, I can become more competent rather than this pervasive I'm incompetent place that people go. So another one, and I'm just offering you a few beliefs that come up with some frequency for people. If you really search your own heart and your head, and you examine yourself, you'll come up with your own. Another one is, I'm a boring person. I'm just a boring person. Versus, I don't yet know what interests me. I'm not familiar with what interests me, or what's really meaningful to me, or what I feel passionate about. I don't yet know that. And that, the one of the important words there is yet. Another counter to I'm a boring person would be, I shut down when something doesn't feel relevant. So looking at your behavior, how rather than thinking of I'm just boring, looking at I behave in a way that could be experienced as boring to other people. I shut down when something doesn't feel relevant. Or another counter to I'm a boring person might be, I'm tired. I'm just beat. Okay, so hopefully you hear the difference, that you're looking at underlying drivers and you are offering yourself alternative beliefs. How else could I think about myself? Because if you're wedded to these toxic beliefs, you're going to keep hearing this noise in your head. It's the driver. These beliefs are part of the driver. Okay, so another way to deal with the noise in your head would be to use antidotes in the midst of the noise, or as the noise is coming on. And what are the antidotes that people find most useful? One obvious one is thought stopping, because these are toxic thoughts. So what do you do about toxic thoughts? One very good thought stopping technique is to visualize a stop sign and to literally shout out the word stop. This is a good one to use when you're driving and the windows are rolled up, so don't scare anybody. Or if you need to do it silently, you can just visualize a stop sign and hear yourself saying, stop. It kind of jars your brain and invites a reset. Another very good thought-stopping technique is to visualize the toxic thought in your head as something written on a blackboard. So you imagine it written as a sentence on the blackboard, and you take an imaginary eraser, and you erase the toxic thought, okay? That can be very helpful. Another antidote that you can use to deal with the noise is using affirmations, verbal affirmations, or emotional affirmations. So one very good verbal affirmations is saying to yourself, I am, I can, I will, okay? And that can really reset your brain. Another affirmative kind of thing would be to invoke a caring friend. So it's hard for you to think about something affirming to say to yourself. Think about putting a caring friend who doesn't kiss your butt, who knows you, who understands your limitations and your foibles, but who sees you. What would that caring friend be saying to you right now in this moment instead of that nasty noise in your head? And by the way, in terms of affirmations, there's probably a multi-million-dollar, if not multi-billion-dollar industry around affirmations. All you have to do is go online and you'll find tons of affirmations. And you just pick out the ones that feel like they fit you. One very helpful antidote to the noise in your head is to use power poses. There was wonderful TED talk about this. I can't remember the name of the woman who did it, but if you go into TED Talks and you look up power poses, you'll find it. She did a whole 45-minute speech about it. If you stand with your hands on your hips and your shoulders back and your head held high, that's a power pose. That's a confident pose. And what it does is it activates more feelings of confidence in your brain. It resets your brain. Another good power pose would be to stand with your legs spread apart and your arms up toward the sky in a big V. You're looking up at the sky in a very expansive pose. That's a power pose. And that will also, oh, and by the way, you do this for a few minutes, and it starts to activate chemicals in your brain that are going to lend themselves to a more confident feeling. And it can really short-circuit these thoughts if you notice yourself in the midst of the noise in your head. Another antidote is to practice self-compassion. Now, we all should be doing this in a regular way, but this can, if you can pull it up in an emergency and use comforting words and behaviors, again, invoke that caring friend. What would the caring friend on your shoulder say to you right now instead of beating you up the way you're doing to yourself in your head? Meditation is a great antidote to quieting the noise in your head. And that is a kind of stage setter for more positive self-talk. But if you meditate, if you can interrupt the noise through meditation. And part of what meditation does is it calms down the stress response. It stimulates the autonomic nervous system, which calms down the stress response. It's very soothing. It's calming. And if you don't think of being perfect at it, because there is no such thing, it can really be a very comforting kind of activity for you, especially when this noise is loud in your head. Exercise is excellent. It's a great brain reset. So if you are experiencing very toxic self-talk, get out of your head, get outside, get inside. If you have a treadmill or something inside, get outside, take the dog for a walk, get out of your head and into your body in a physical way. And you get a kind of double hit of something positive. You get out in nature, you get some fresh air, you get out in nature. You could do a moving meditation where you're while you're walking or running, you're focusing on your breath, or you're focusing on your gait, or you're focusing on what you hear, you're focusing on what you see, what you smell, using your five senses as a moving meditation. It helps to reset. It helps to do a reset in your brain. One helpful thing some people do is they take a bath. That's very soothing. It's very calming. You can have a healthy snack. Beware of the use of food as an antidote to negative thoughts. You don't want to do it without intention. You want to be very mindful about what are you reaching for in the way of the snack. If you're reaching for sugar, forget it. It would be a very immediate but short-lived effect. Proper sleep. If you need to, take a nap. If you just can't seem to quiet down this stuff in your head, try to take a nap. Some people can fall asleep very readily, and that they end up waking up like a different person. Connection is a very good antidote to this. Call a friend or a loved one. If you feel like you're your own worst enemy and you cannot do a reset and you cannot change the frequency in your brain, pick up the phone, text or pick up the phone. It's better to pick up the phone to hear a soothing voice. You'll hear tone. There will be cues. If not, if you have a neighbor or somebody close by, you can go to. bring on some connection that will help you get out of your own toxic thoughts. So the other thing, one final thing, is always around tools and around changing behavior, note what seems to help. Keep a log, okay? So not only keep a log of what are the activators, what are the situation, keep a log of what are you saying to yourself, what's the name of the voice in your head and what are they saying to you? So you can note some common things that are happening, some patterns, but also keep a log of what are the things that you do that you use as antidotes that are helpful. You don't want to repeat things that have no impact. You know, maybe you try it once and another time it'll help, but if you try it several times and it has no impact, you don't want to be reaching for that as a tool, as a soothing tool. So keep a log. Take this seriously. Don't just say to yourself, oh, well, you know, I guess this is what happens to me. It's who I am. Try to think of this as either learned behavior, think of it as an internalization. It's something you have taken in, something you have internalized. Maybe you heard these messages about yourself. That's another one. You know, who might have said this to you? What is there in your history that would set you up for this kind of noise in your head? But think of it as something you have internalized or something that is reactive, reactive to bodily states, reactive to situational states, reactive to people, et cetera. And you will do better with practice. You will do better quieting the noise in your head. Okay? So hopefully this has been helpful in giving you some tools to reduce the noise in your head. If you had some noise in your head while you were listening to the program, hopefully you now have better ideas about how to counteract it. I'd like to thank my listeners and my caller in, and, you know, the person who asked the question, but I would also like to thank the other people who are on the line. And hopefully next time you'll ask a question, but that's okay. Now, my next episode, I haven't yet decided on a topic, but it will be actually next year. It will be in 2019, and it's going to be on Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, happy holidays, and be aware of the noise in your head through the holidays. That could be a big activator for a lot of people. Good night, everybody.